Welcome to the Intuitive Eating and Body Positivity Podcast. I'm Terry and I'll be talking about all things intuitive eating, body positivity and health at every size, and shaking off weight stigma, diet culture and food rules so that we can all have a better relationship with food and our bodies. Hello! Episode 30. Whoop whoop. I feel like we should have a little party. Episode 30. I feel like that's a little bit of an achievement, you know. Lots of people don't get past episode 20. So I feel like we're winning, guys. I feel like we're winning. How are you? How's your week been? Mine's been a bang average. Nothing really going on. It's getting cold though here. It's getting cold in the mornings, but that means porridge. I really like porridge for breakfast when it's cold because it's warm and thick and stodgy, because I don't like runny porridge. I don't like anything like that, really. I like things to be a bit gloopy. Do you know what I mean? Love that word. Gloopy. It's the same with lots of food for me. Weetabix, don't like that, really milky. What else? I don't know. But I really like my porridge really thick. Really thick. So, you know, you could slice it if you had to. So, I've been taking porridge to work with me. We've got a little setup in our office, so there's a microwave and things there. So I'm never really ready to eat food when I get up first thing in the morning. I take my breakfast to work and then eat it when I'm ready. So about 9, 9:30, I start to get a bit peckish. And I've been warming up my porridge this week. I don't know about you, don't know if you even like porridge, but I've been having mine this week with honey and sliced banana and... I like to put flaxseed in it because two reasons. Firstly, it's a good way of getting some omega-3 in, and also it thickens it up a bit. So even if it's a bit runny, the flaxseed helps to kind of make it more stodgy. And some mornings I've put a bit of sugar on top because I really like a melted sugar on the top of porridge or on the top of any warm breakfast, really. Yeah, so that's my breakfast this week. And I didn't even really get bored of it because I was changing up the toppings and things. I do tend to get a bit bored with food quite quickly. So if I had the same porridge day in, day out, boring, but I change the ingredients and I change the things that I put in it, and so it doesn't get dull then. Another good thing to stir into it is peanut butter. Have you tried that? Or a big spoonful of peanut butter stirred into hot porridge. Yum. It's good. It's good, the things you can do with a bowl of porridge. This morning, I had my porridge. And then, just as I was putting it all in the bowl and stuff, so it was too late to stop the making of the porridge, really, my husband said, "Do you want some bacon?" Do I want some bacon? Whoever says no to that question? I was like, oh, now I've got my bowl of porridge ready, but I do want the bacon too. I probably am going to be full enough by the time I've eaten my porridge, but I do want the bacon too. So I had both, because that's what you do. I was full after my porridge, but I wasn't uncomfortably full and I really wanted that piece of bacon. So I honoured that and I had it. And it was good. I really enjoyed it. That's the beauty of intuitive eating. If you really, really want something, it's good to honour it. Also this week, I had another amazing person give me some cake. Did you listen to the last couple of episodes? I've got a new Buy Me a Coffee account. It's a way, I guess, of having people support the podcast if they want to. And this week, somebody was really, really kind. Thank you, thank you, thank you to that person. I know that I have said it before, it's not obligatory, nobody has to do it. But I can't tell you how grateful I am when somebody does do it. It just goes a long way for me, you know, not even about the amount of money, but it just goes a long way for me to know that people are supportive of the podcast and are enjoying it so much that they want to support it, you know. You know what I mean. But thank you very much. If you've donated, thank you. If you want to, you can buy me a cake. The link is in the show notes. So if you want to do that, pop on over and have a little look. But yeah, thanks very much. I really appreciate the support. I've got a few really good interviews lined up that I think you're really going to like. I know this is primarily a solo podcast. I know it's usually just me talking to you. But there are some topics that I just can't cover myself. So I've got a couple of people lined up that I'm going to have a chat with, and then I will share it with you. One is going to be around things like blood pressure and stuff like that. I know it sounds like boring health stuff, but I think it's important that we talk about it, because when we start intuitive eating, it's quite easy to think that we've just given up on caring for our health. And that's not the way it is, not the way it is at all. And then when you're coming to terms with that, you then get people who say, but what about your blood pressure? What about your cholesterol? What about this? What about that? And it's really easy to be swayed into thinking that you need to diet again, because you don't understand how it does impact on your health and well-being. So we're going to have a little chat about some things like blood pressure and stuff, so that that's a bit more information and a bit more armor for you against the world of dieting. I'm also going to be having a chat with an amazing woman who's going to talk about intimacy, shall we say? I did say that I would do an episode on that, and I'm going to have a really good talk with a coach in that area. So I won't go into any more details here because, you know, don't know who's listening. But I did say I would let you know when that was coming up so that you can make time privately to listen to that if you want to. So yeah, some good ones coming up, I think. Also, a couple of these have come off the back of people messaging me and saying, really interested in this side of eating. Could you expand on that? Or I've had this experience. Can you explain that? Or, you know, something that is food and body image related to people that I haven't talked about on the podcast yet. If you have anything like that, please do message me, because I want this podcast to be useful for you. So if you have things that you would like me to address, like me to talk about, like me to explain, like me to find some information on, then just drop me a note and I'll make it the topic of one of the episodes. And if I don't know about it, then there will be somebody out there that does know about it, and I will have a conversation with them for you. Yeah, so let me know if there's anything you want me to talk about. Just drop me a line. Let me know. I'm happy to take suggestions on board. This week in the group coaching sessions, we've been talking about nutrition. Now, we don't talk an awful lot about nutrition as a real focus when we're talking about intuitive eating, because we don't want to get bogged down with being concerned about each individual nutrient that we're putting into our body. When we are trying to make peace with food, build a better relationship with food, build some body confidence, the last thing you want to be thinking about is going to be the nutrition in the food that you're eating. Nutrition has a part to play in the functioning of all of our body systems, but you really have to be in a place where you are at peace with food before you can start considering how nutrition really will benefit you and how you can change your diet or add to your diet in order to get the best out of the food that you're eating. It just does not have to be a priority when you're starting out in your intuitive eating journey. And in the group, we've been working on different things for a while, and I thought it was a nice time in order to talk a little bit about nutrition. So we had some of that conversation this week. We talked about the way that the world influences how we think about food, and we thought about the importance of not taking things out of our diet, but to add things in so that there was no restriction while trying to consider the food that we eat. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that detail here and now, because that would make for a very long podcast episode. But what I did want to talk to you about was what is known as junk food. In the group, we talked about things like processed food. People look down on processed food, don't they, so much. You quite often hear about people who are going to clean eat and they're going to not have anything that's processed. Well, we'll do another episode on that. We'll do another episode on clean eating. But for starters, you can't really avoid processed food that easily in life. Lots of foods are processed. I know the typical thought of processed food is going to be things like microwave meals, you know, prepackaged things like that. But if you think about things like cheese, well, cheese is processed because you can't actually make cheese without processing milk. So how we look at processed foods needs to change a little bit. We need to remember that not all processed food is bad. Let's take frozen vegetables, for instance. They are super nutritious. They are so, so good because they are picked, or, you know, whatever they are, they're picked, plucked, whatever. And they are quickly frozen. So those vegetables are maintaining a lot of the nutrients that they had when they were freshly picked. If you think about fresh veg in the supermarket, it will have gone through a process of being picked or plucked or whatever, and then transported and stored, and then it sits on the shelf for a couple of days or however long it's there, you know. And actually, all of a sudden, the frozen veg is now the more nutritious option because it's been frozen so quickly to maintain all the goodness. And the fresh stuff that's sat on the shelf, all the time it's sat on the shelf and not being used, it's slightly degrading. And then you get it home and then you store it a bit longer and maybe you won't eat the broccoli for the best part of a week. Do you see what I mean? So we can't automatically look down on processed foods. There's lots of nuance to processing of foods that we don't take into consideration when we are listening to people belittling frozen foods and processed foods. Like I said, I'll do another episode on clean eating, and, you know, in that will be processed foods. So we'll talk about that more another day. But today I wanted to talk about junk food. Junk food is a term that everybody sees as negative. It's, by the nature of the word junk, negative. And we think about foods as junk foods when we think that they're not that good for us. They're not that healthy. So what are we thinking when we think about junk foods? We're thinking chocolate and crisps and cake, takeaways, you know, pizzas, fast food, ready meals, that sort of thing. Biscuits, pastries, yum. You see where I've gone with all of this? It's all food that we call junk food. It's all food that we think is not that good for us and that if we were eating healthily, we would have to stay away from. All these foods come with a side serving of guilt and shame, don't they? All of these foods, if you've eaten them and you're trying to diet, will result in you feeling guilty for what you've eaten or shameful. No one would look down on you if you ate a pack of apples, would they? You know, if you had a bag of apples on your desk and you munched your way through them in the day, no one would bat an eyelid. They'd be like, oh, aren't you eating healthily? Well done, you. But if you sat there with a packet of croissants on your desk and you munched your way through those, people are likely to comment. Whether that's a joke or not, you know that somebody's going to comment on the fact that you've eaten a whole packet of croissants. Social media does that too. Social media messages from people like nutritionists who aren't in the field of non-diet, dietitians who aren't in the non-diet field, influencers, just your friends and families on social media. You know, there's all sorts of people who are preaching the clean approach, the unprocessed approach, the healthy approach. Go back to what I was saying about the what I eat in a day posts. You know, they all just show the typically healthy foods. I wish you could see me sat here doing my air quotes every time I say healthy or good for you or anything like that. What I want you to see is me doing air quotes. Have you seen that episode of Friends where Joey does sorry and he does the air quotes and he's used them completely wrong? I can't do the air quotes thing without hearing Joey and his sorry. Anyway, that's what I want you to see. When I'm sat here going something is healthy or unhealthy, I need you to see me doing air quotes because I'm not going to say quote unquote all the time. That annoys the hell out of me. There's some podcasts I listen to and they're like, quote unquote, healthy, quote unquote, unhealthy. No, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, we are going to reframe this message. Yes, we are going to stop thinking about food as junk. We are going to stop putting foods on a moral position. We're stopping that now. Instead, from now on, I want you to call junk food play food. Do you like that or not? I didn't know when I first heard that term. I couldn't decide whether I liked it. Something about it didn't sit quite right with me. Now, I really like it. It's a term that we use in intuitive eating. If you get the books, the actual intuitive eating books, you'll see it referred to in there. You'll see a lot of intuitive eating counsellors and nutritionists and whatever online will also refer to it as play food. That's what it is. We're not making it junk food. We're making it play food. We're also not saying that it's a treat or a cheat, because that implies that you should only have it every now and again, that you should reserve it for a special occasion. You should only have it if you've earned it, you know, that sort of thing. So it's not a treat. It's not a cheat meal or a cheat food. It is just play food. It's fun. It's good to have in your day. When you think of the term play, you think of lighthearted and good fun and nice things generally, right? With food, when you attach it to food, a play food is something that is a bit of fun, lighthearted, nice to have, good to have in your day, invokes those positive feelings. So if you can, now start reframing that. Start trying to think of that whenever you think of junk food. I need you to think of it as play food. This is because food is more than just the nutrients. Food is more than just the ingredients in it. Food is a part of so much more that is not actually related to the food itself, but it just plays a part of the whole event. So celebrations, weddings, let's take weddings. If you go to a wedding, you can expect to have a sit-down meal or a buffet or canapés while you're having drinks, wedding cake. You know, there's food everywhere at a wedding. It's not necessarily the main focal point of the day, of the event, but it does play quite a large part in it. People always remember what they have at a wedding, don't they? I remember what I have at every single wedding that I've ever been to. It's the same with birthdays and any special event really in life. We just have food attached to it. It's very much a part of social scenes. Even if there's not an event, but something social is going on, there's likely to be food there. If you meet up with your friends, do you usually meet them for breakfast or brunch, lunch, dinner, There's always some kind of food involved whenever I go and meet friends for a catch up. What about if you go on a little date with somebody? That's going to probably have food involved in it somewhere. Sometimes we have food just for the enjoyment of it. Quite a lot of people take some real stress relief from baking, for example. Might make a good cake at the weekend, or you might try a new recipe of some kind. There's quite often an enjoyment and a relaxing aspect to food for people. And quite often comfort. If you're not very well, sometimes you just want some comfort food. Or when it's cold and dark outside and you're cozying up in the evening, it's nice to just have some food that you find is a comfort food. So there's so much about food that is involved in it that doesn't relate to the nutrition of food. And that's okay, because not everything has to be nutrition based. You don't need to be thinking about nutrition 24 hours a day. You shouldn't be thinking about nutrition every time you put food in your mouth. There are very few people who need to do that. People with intolerances or allergies obviously need to consider what they're putting in their mouth. There are people with some health conditions that mean that they need to stay away from certain foods or include certain foods. Maybe there are people like bodybuilders or people who are doing some kind of show where their physique is being critiqued. Now, their eating habits, that's a story for another day. I think I've mentioned before that the fitness industry is not the go-to place for good, sound nutrition advice, because it involves such disordered eating when you're involved in these competitions and things. But my point is, they will be considering what they put in their mouth because there is an end goal that they're striving to achieve. But us normal people, we don't need to think about it like that. We can give some consideration to the balance of foods that we're eating, but we don't have to consider every last morsel that we're putting in our mouths. So, back to the play foods. What I would like you to do is to start to reframe your thoughts around these foods when you are eating them. There really isn't any need to be black and white about this. There really isn't any need to think of it as healthy or unhealthy food. Every food you eat has got some kind of nutrient in it that you are going to benefit from. If you take any food at all and you break it down, there is going to be something useful in there. Let's pick a couple. Let's start with chocolate. Are you a chocolate fan? I really like chocolate. The ingredients in a chocolate bar will include milk. Milk has got great stuff in it. Calcium, minerals, protein, good stuff. It also has sugar in it, so it's got carbohydrates, quick release carbohydrates. So if you need a sudden burst of energy, if you are feeling a bit low, if your blood sugars are running a little bit low, a bar of chocolate can be great as a quick pickup. Now, we won't get into the details of blood sugar control, but we can't dismiss the fact that a bar of chocolate can give you a really quick burst of energy if you need it. It also has fats and protein. Both of those are needed by the body. It has cocoa beans in there, and cocoa beans are a good source of things like antioxidants. So, you know, there are benefits there in terms of heart health as well. I know overall there are foods that will give you a more concentrated amount of all of these things, but you cannot deny that in chocolate bars, there are some very, very good things that your body can use. Let's talk cake. If we break down cake into its ingredients forms, what you've got there is flour, butter, eggs, sugar. Is that it? Whatever fillings and things you have, or whatever toppings you have, whatever flavourings you want to add, there are variances. But you can break a cake down into eggs, which are really good for you, protein, and fats and good, good stuff. There's sugar there. And I know we're going back to sugar again, but don't forget that actual sugar, table sugar, is the closest thing to the form of energy that our body runs on. Our bodies primarily function based off of carbohydrates. It functions from these foods broken down into very, very basic sugars. And so that sugar that's going in your cake is about as close as it comes to the sugars that our body uses as energy, as fuel to keep itself going. So while all these people out there are demonizing sugar and saying how bad it is for you, let's not forget that your body runs off sugar. And that sugar in the cake is very quick release because it's so close to the type of sugar that our body uses. It doesn't take long to break it down. It just sucks it in and uses it. And that's why you get a bit of an energy high when you've had sugary foods. The flour in the cake, however, is also going to give you carbohydrates. It's also going to give you this energy. But the flour is going to take a little bit longer to break down in the body. So that's a longer, more sustained energy source. I mean, it's not long-term sustained like a whole meal food, but flour is going to take longer to break down than the sugar. And so it's still a form of energy. It's still going to give you the energy that your body's looking for to run. Also in flour, you've got things like protein, you've got fiber, you've got calcium and iron and other minerals that your body needs to function properly. All your systems run on these vitamins and minerals that we're eating, and it needs an overall balance of the things that food provides us. And flour and all these other components of this play food that we're eating all contributes to that intake. It all contributes to that amount that our body needs to function properly. What else did we say was in the cake? Butter, fats. Our body needs fats to function. Now, there are different types of fats. We won't get into that here and now. And yes, we can acknowledge that butter is not the most health maximizing of the fats that you can consume. However, if that's the only fat source that you can consume, you're better off having that fat than you are no fat. Our bodies need fat. There are very, very big functions in the body that run off fat, and we should not just cut it out. So all things considered, you see, this cake is not looking so bad now, is it? Let's do one more. Let's do a savoury thing. What should we do? Let's do a pasty. Yeah? Know what a Cornish pasty is? I hope my overseas listeners know what a Cornish pasty is. If you do not know what a Cornish pasty is, it's basically pastry, like a shortcrust pastry, and it's a pastry circle, right? Imagine this, go with me. Pastry circle, and then in the middle is meat and vegetables and like a gravy or something like that, and some herbs and things. And then it gets folded in half, so it's like a semicircle now, and the edges get crimped and then it gets baked. Yum. But these things are seen as quite unhealthy because it's pastry, and pastry is not good for you, right? But again, let's break down the components of it. The pastry is flour, butter, water. Is that it? I think that's it. Flour, butter and water. So the flour is carbs and proteins, a bit of fat. There's some sugar in there. There's some fiber in there. There's some vitamins and minerals in there. The butter is some fat. It's got some other things like calcium and other minerals in it. And then look at the filling. Vegetables, carrots, onion, potato, you know, veg that would usually be deemed to be excellent if it was on the side of a dinner plate, but because it's a pasty, it's suddenly unhealthy? How is that right? It's not right. That pasty is giving you some really good nutrients, actually. But people look down on them because The flour is not seen as healthy food. The butter is not seen as healthy food. Pastry in general is thought to be one of those foods that is really quite unhealthy. But we don't eat these things in isolation. We're not eating blocks of butter. We're not just sat spooning bags of flour into our mouths. You know, it's all combined and it all contributes to an overall balance of food. If you added together the food that you ate and you broke every food down into each of its individual parts, you would find that you probably actually have a better balance of nutrients than you think you do. It's actually been proven that people who do intuitive eating, even though they're not thinking about eating healthily, they actually do have a very good balance of all the nutrients and the vitamins and minerals and things that they need in their diet. So that's good to know, isn't it? That's good to know that once you start paying attention to what your body is telling you that you want to eat, and you stop thinking about all the foods that are good for you and the foods that are bad for you, when you just let your body decide what you want to eat, you do end up having this really good balance of all the vitamins and minerals and the macronutrients, you know, the carbs, the fat, the protein, all of that, everything becomes a really good balance. And you don't even have to try. God, we try so hard on a diet. We try to get everything so right. When we're counting macros, we try and get the balance so right. Who knew if you just eat intuitively, your body will tell you how to get that balance without even thinking about it. Amazing, huh? Plus also, let's bring back our good friend, the binge restrict cycle. When you start having these play foods as a part of your overall diet, nothing is restricted. So you don't get these cravings for them. You're not suddenly driven to binge on 25 bars of chocolate and 6 whole sponge cakes, or whatever it is that you naturally crave when you're on a diet. I know that probably you're not going to eat 25 bars of chocolate, and I know you're not going to sit and eat 6 whole sponge cakes. Just trying to prove a point. And that point is that if you just let yourself eat some of this stuff that you for so long thought of as junk, and you start to respect it and give it a place in your diet, you will stop the binging. There will be less of an obsession about these foods. There will be better hunger control. There will be better food intake overall. And you just don't have to think about it. Not too much anyway. I mean, you have to think about how your body feels, but you don't have to think about the nutrients in the food you're eating. Doesn't that sound so much better? So that was a whistle stop tour of reframing thoughts around what we thought was junk food that we're now going to call play food going forward. I go into way more detail about these things in the group coaching sessions. So if you like hearing these episodes, but you want to dig a bit deeper and you want to do things that are more personal to you and your eating habits, then why not consider joining? Consider joining the coaching sessions, because we do go deeper into these things. We do talk about it more. You get to ask questions and we get to relate it to people's actual lived experiences with food. It's all very well and good me telling you about how these things work, but sometimes you just need to talk to people, and sometimes you need to be able to figure it out and see how it applies to your life. So think about it, consider it. If you are able to make the group meetings, which are 7:30 on a Tuesday, GMT that is, then you are very, very welcome. I've always said that these group coaching sessions are going to stay small so that people get a very personal service from them. So this is to let you know there are just 3 spaces left. As soon as those 3 spaces are filled, I'm shutting the doors and then I'll do another round. I'll set another group maybe. But yeah, just to let you know that there are just 3 spaces left on this group. So if you want to get in there now before it fills up and before I close the doors. Also, to let you know, I am putting the price up on the 1st of December this year. So 1st of December 2021, I'm putting the group fee up. At the moment, it's £25 a month. And on the 1st of December, I'm going to be putting it up to £35. So two reasons there why, if you're thinking about signing up, that you want to do it now. Firstly, I'm putting the price up. Secondly, I'm shutting the doors when there's another three members. So yeah, if you've got any questions or anything, if you're thinking about it and you're not sure if it suits you, if you need more information, take a look at the link in the show notes. You can go onto my website. There's a group coaching page on there, or drop me a message. If you've got questions, just drop me a message and I'll answer them for you. No pressure. I'm not going to try and sell it to you. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But if you do have questions, just ask. I'm really happy to answer anything that you want to know. Right, I'm off. I've got to go to my sister's house tonight. We're having a bit of a catch up. It was my nephew's birthday and we're going to have some drinks and stuff. Some drinks and some food and some music and some seeing people and having a nice time. So that's going to be really good. I hope you've got a nice week planned. I hope you've got some nice things to do, some nice food to eat. Whatever you are doing, I hope it's just fabulous. And you are fabulous, so why would it not be? Have a really lovely week. I will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.